Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Hello, this is What's Next on WBFO. I am your host, Jillian Hainsworth, along with the legendary Jim Fink, a reporter here at WBFO. And today we have a very special guest. We have Judge James McLeod, who is a former City of Buffalo judge and also the creator of the city's first young adult court, who's now running for mayor of the City of Buffalo. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being on with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we jump into your campaign and your vision for Buffalo, I definitely want to talk about the contributions you've already made to the city as a judge and an attorney. So I know there's 20 years of things we could talk about, but let's talk about the creation of the young adult court and the impact that had on our youth here in Buffalo.
Well, that was an idea that I had before I was a city court judge. I was the second assistant county attorney, and one of the divisions that I was responsible for was family court. And the family court division, we dealt with support matters, but primarily dealing with juvenile delinquents and PINs, persons in need of supervision, who were brought to the court either by parents, or in some instances they were brought there by the schools because of behavior that was going on there. And when I transitioned over to the city court, I unfortunately saw some of the folks who I had been dealing with in family court. And it really hit me that unfortunately we had a system, and we still may in some instances, where young people or people who start out in family court unfortunately find themselves going into the adult court unless something is done to try to stop that from happening. And when I was in city court and started to see these numbers grow, and at the same time see that there were not services that were being provided necessarily, saw that there were, in many instances, not only engaging in criminal activity, but there were also problems in the schools by the same individuals, or problems at home, that there was a lack of services, mental health services, counseling services, whatnot, that were being provided. And as a result of that, I also saw that unfortunately in the city court building at the time when I was there, that when these young people would come in, there were 12 judges at that time, they would possibly go to 12 different parts. And as a result of 12 different parts, there was no continuity in attempting to address the issues. And based on that, I asked to start this program that I had in my mind to try to bring all of these kids into one courtroom with one judge so there would be consistency as opposed to the lack thereof. And in that courtroom, I then reached out and started working with the schools, middle schools, and in some cases high schools, whether they were Buffalo Public Schools or charter schools, wherever these kids may have been attending or not attending, reaching out to them to find out what could be done to keep them in school, what could be done to stop them from being suspended from school, what sort of services that they think we might be able to provide to help reduce the issues that these kids were having in school. and at the same time reached out to community-based organizations and counseling programs, bringing them all in one part of court, so they weren't running all over the place as well. And we attempted to address the issues with those children, with those young people. And as a result of that, we started to see a drastic change, at least with the kids who were coming into our part of court, that those issues that they may have been having at home with parents, in some cases you had single parents, mothers who, especially with the young men, weren't able to control them, weren't able to give them whatever that assistance that they needed. And so we started to see the parents coming into court saying that there were fewer problems that they were having at home. We started to see that in the schools, those kids that we interacted with were having reduced problems in school. And we started to be able to see changes in their behavior because of the counseling that we got them, either through community-based organizations or other programs that existed out there. And we did that for a number of years until after I left, when they came up with the Change the Age law that transferred a lot of these cases, or most of these cases, over to the family court. But it was a concept that I thought was needed. It was a concept that I was able to implement with the help of our administrators, and it was a concept that seemed to have some positive results.
Was it a matter of maybe psychologically these kids, someone reached out to them and said, "We care, we want to help you," as opposed to they were feeling sort of helpless and nobody cared about them?
Well, there's no question about that, because usually when people come to court then, and probably still now, they came in, it was sort of a matter of fact place. You're charged with this crime or this violation. What are we going to do to resolve it? Okay, that's the end of it. As opposed to, no, somebody cares about you enough to want you to try to stop what you're doing. Why are you doing it in the first place? And then trying to link them up with some program to help them stop doing it. There were times when I would actually stop court if I thought it was necessary or needed, and actually have that young person and family members with their lawyers come into my office and talk about this, talk about what was going on, because some things did not need to be talked about in public. Some things shouldn't have been talked about in public. Needs of these kids, young people who were living with grandparents, let's say, who weren't going to school, and they weren't going to school because their grandparents weren't able to provide for them the clothing or the shoes that they needed. And some of these kids were embarrassed when they would go to school and be ridiculed each day by their classmates, but you're wearing the same clothes. And so these kids, rather than face that, would not go to school, and or they became defiant. And in some cases, I would like to think in most of these cases, bringing them in the back and actually talking one-on-one with the judge, I mean, that didn't happen that often. And to be able to see what my office looked like, and to be able to tell them, you too can achieve this, but you're going to have to, you know, go to school. You're going to have to try to stay out of trouble. There's nothing beyond your reach if you really want to do that. Things started to change. Kids would come and they talk to me. I still run into young, well, they're not young anymore, but into people on the streets, parents and or young people who appeared before me to say that that which we did in our courtroom was transformative, and they're doing great things now, and they did not see themselves doing that years ago. So it's what you say. These kids felt that no one really cared about them, or those who cared about them weren't able to give them those things that they needed, but they needed to realize that even though you may not get what you want, there are things that you're going to be able to get if you do the right thing, if you stay in school. I'm one of those folks who firmly believe that the longer we could keep a young person in school and off the streets, the greater the likelihood of them graduating from high school, middle school, high school. And then once they've crossed that threshold, there's no looking back.
Because children, that's our future. That's Buffalo's future.
There's no question about it. And we... back then, and unfortunately now, we still see a lot of young people just hanging out on the street. There's not that direction that was there. I guess I also had a reputation. I tried to be tough but fair. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to the principals, I work with all the principals in the schools and members of the school board. It was sort of funny, but it was interesting that the word, I'd go into a school and the word would get out. Judge McLeod's in the building. And so those kids who would might have been running through those halls weren't doing that because the word got out. You don't want to go down there because it's not the place for you. Court is not the place for you. Jail is not the place for you. But he really cares. He may be tough, but he cares about us. And that's something that I'm proud of.
So is your commitment to youth what you would say is the catalyst for you running for mayor? Or is there something else that really made you say, I'm going to do this right now?
Well, Buffalo is in such a state that I felt that I have something to offer. I believe that there are a lot of issues that exist within the city, whether it's crime with younger people and or older people. There are issues with a lot of the infrastructure that exists within the city of Buffalo. There is a lack of unity, I believe, here in the city of Buffalo. When I say unity, the city feeling as though it's one. Mm-hmm. The city feels that it's divided. These are all issues that I care deeply about. They're issues that I believe I'm able to help with because my entire career has been one of collaboration. I haven't just sat on the bench and done the work of a judge. I have, over my time here in Buffalo, worked with organizations going back to the 80s. You're probably too young to remember. But
I was born in 92.
There was a group called the Leadership Forum, and you probably remember back when there was 22 caliber killings that was going on. And the organization that I was involved in got engaged in that, and we did a lot of work. There was a time when there was an effort to have Nazis come here to Buffalo because of the civil rights work that was going on here in Buffalo. And I was fortunate enough to be one of the lead attorneys challenging their ability to march here over in federal court before Judge Elfin at the time. I've worked with the Urban League. I've been on board of Kaleida Health. I've served as a trustee in a couple of the charter schools that are here. I've worked with philanthropic groups. I've worked with community-based organizations in different parts of the city. In each of those efforts that I've attempted to engage in, my main focal point was to try to bring people together because working together, we were going to be able to make Buffalo a better community for all, not some. But for all. And so I believe the need for that again exists. And I think I have the wherewithal, the collaborative skills, coming up with new ideas, not thinking inside the box, not having my hands tied based on political IOUs that may exist out there. I believe I would bring a breath of fresh air to the Buffalo. And I think the work that I've done over the years that I've been here has shown my commitment to do that without the need to be looking for anything, including a pat on the back.
Yeah. And you said Buffalo is in such a state. Can you assess the state of Buffalo right now along with our previous administration?
Well, I think there's no question in talking to people. A lot of people feel left out. A lot of communities, particularly the east side of Buffalo, and even though there's been transformation of the lower west side, pockets over there that have felt left out. And they not only feel left out, but when they open their doors and walk out on the street every day, they see they are left out. You've got, again, when you talk about young people, to say that young people who live on the east side of Buffalo who find themselves maybe going to schools on the west side or north side of Buffalo, and they see what they've left and they see what they're going to on a daily basis, and then coming back to what they've, what's been left when they left their home that morning, there's that, that feeling of despair. That's, there's that question of why? How come we don't have? How come our community isn't that way? Why are our sidewalks in the conditions that they're in? Why are our streets in the condition that they're in? Why, when we walk out, we don't see buildings and bustling on the streets that we see when we cross Main Street to the Elmwood area or North Buffalo or even South Buffalo? Those sorts of things have caused people to feel that there is a disparity. And so it's real, unfortunately. It's real, and it's something that needs to be finally addressed. For years, people talk about it, mm-hmm. what's going to happen, but it never seems to have transitioned from what's going to it actually is happening.
So how do you break down these silos?
Well, you break them down by having a commitment, a dedication that says we're going to do things differently. We're going to start addressing the needs throughout the city, as opposed to just concentrating on certain parts of the city. We're going to make people feel and believe that they are part of the city and they're deserving of the same sort of service as other parts of this community. The needs that are there, giving people the ability to voice the needs. But once those needs are voiced, to say, okay, we're going to actually do something about it, as opposed to talk about it, come up with some report that is put on a shelf with the reports that have been put on the shelves over the last few. It seems as though there's a cycle. An issue comes up, we're going to create a commission or something like that. We're going to do a report. That report is created. People talk about it for a little while. Then it goes on the shelf until there's a need to bring it out again and say, oh, there's an issue. I say, well, that's the same issue that was there 10 years ago and nothing was done. Instead of doing that, actually start doing things to show that there's real commitment and working together with everyone. That's a key part. People working together, people will then see that the desires, the needs that affect you, in a sense, affect me in some way. And by addressing those needs, we can make Buffalo a city that feels like we're all in this together.
Sort of rising tide lifts all boats.
Oh yes, I've said that for years. That even though people may say, "Well, we're doing okay," well, yes, you are, but someone else isn't. And if that someone who isn't starts to do better and okay, you who are already doing well, you're going to do even better. And that realization needs to set in, and I think it will. Once people see, yeah, you got a point there. This is what's being done in other parts of the country. We can and should, and we'll do it here.
Isn't there a psychological lift if people can see progress? And I don't care if you're talking about the East Side, North Buffalo, South Buffalo. People want to see progress. Isn't there a psychological lift that's attached to all that?
Well, there's no question about it. Just like there's a sense of depression that sets in when Correct. You go and see that, gee, it's not, and why not? So if that depression is eliminated and a lift is inserted, again, it's for the good of the entire community.
So what do you say to, like, I'll talk about my own generation, for example. I born and raised on the East Side. I'm 32. I have not seen upward economic mobility among the Black community in my lifetime. So when you speak to that depression, what do you say to the people who are like, what's the point of even voting? Because nothing's changed. Everybody keeps asking us what the problems are, but we've been screaming what the problems are. We've been stuck in survival mode. What's the point? What do you say to those people?
Well, number one, you're absolutely right. And I think to some degree, how can I put it gently? You've been talking, the ears that have been listening have tended to be politicians. Mm-hmm. I'm not a politician. Judges aren't political. You're absolutely right. But what people unfortunately have heard over the years is they talk, someone listens, they give them platitudes. They, oh yeah, it sounds good. and you see them again maybe 8 months before it's time for reelection. Mm-hmm. And they seem to have forgotten those things that they discussed with you and promised you the last time they were knocking at your door looking for a vote. I think, again, my history on the bench, of not just being on the bench, but being engaged and really engaged and really involved in doing what I set myself out to do, has been demonstrated. And so I'd like to think that people say, well, yeah, when he said he was going to do this, he rolled up his sleeves and got involved and he produced. We believe that he's worthy of taking this task on, because that's the sort of thing I was talking about before, that year after year after year, conversation is had. People say what's needed, that transition hasn't taken place. You see it taking place at other parts of the city. Why hasn't it taken place here? Why haven't those dollars that have come to the city of Buffalo based on the economic and socioeconomic conditions of this part of the city, mm-hmm. not been spent in this part of the city?
Right.
And some people would say, and some people do say, that that has not taken place because once that boat has been lifted from that tide that we were talking about before, mm-hmm. then those dollars might dry up and we've needed these dollars to keep everything else going. And so it's a question of trying to instill in them, it's not only hope, but the realization that I will do that which I say I will do, but do it with not just talking to you. And again, the past, I think, has been, folks have talked to politicians and there have not necessarily been results. It would be with that collaborative idea that I was talking about, not just having people talk about things, but having people as a part of the solution, as opposed to just saying what we need. We're going to be here a part of this working force to make sure those things we talked about are indeed implemented, as opposed to we've told you things, but then we're kept out of the room. So what's really going on? You will be a part of that room conversation that will be taking place.
Isn't also, so these aren't one-shot deals, but these are continuous efforts. So, you know, you don't take a look at a problem, throw some money or some personnel at it on a short period of time, but you really need longer-term issues and longer-term results.
Well, there's no question about it. It's the issues that we're talking about here did not get created overnight.
No, they didn't.
And the issues that need to be addressed, it's not just, well, okay, we're going to spend a night or two working on it. No, this is a continuous effort and a continuous engagement that's necessary in order to improve things. It because otherwise what you're doing is, okay, we start, it's no better than that report I talked about. That's okay. We create the report, and then it goes on the shelf. We had that feel good moment, but we're not going to go back to it again. This would be continuous engagement with the community, with the entire community, to address the needs that the community says. Well, not only what they say is needed, you can look and see what's needed.
But it's also the impact that you shows you care. It's not just a one-off,
yeah.
That we're going to be here every day. And yes, it's a long-term problem and we can't solve it by flipping a switch, but we're here and we're going to work through this together. Again,
yes.
Using collaboration.
Yes.
Because that creates a sense of ownership.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And people need to believe that they are a part of the solution, as opposed to they're just waiting to see what solution others create for them.
Well, it works because if they're part of the solution, they're engaged.
Yes, yes. And it will be the result that people want, as opposed to what others tell you you need.
Yeah, this is my solution,
right.
not the guy down the street. This is what
right.
I wanted, and we got the results.
Right, and we're working together to make it happen.
So in creating long-term solutions, let's just say you get elected mayor day one, how do we start? Where do we start?
Oh, I think we start by bringing community in, saying, well, in the city of Buffalo, how we start to a large degree is going to be based on dollars. And we see here, unfortunately, yep. in the city of Buffalo that, or so they tell us, that dollars have been squandered.
Mm-hmm.
Dollars have not been equally appropriated.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, we have to find out, okay, I think people need to know, number one, where did those dollars go? Even though you may not bring them back, where do they go? And what dollars are out there? And with those dollars, what's of the, how can I put it, the most need? And we need to start addressing that. Not that we're neglecting others, but that which is the most need needs to be addressed. And then figuring out, working collaboratively with the council, working collaboratively with the city comptroller, working together with the county, because there are some things that the city and the county can and should be doing together.
Or the state.
And the state, to allow those dollars that you're getting to have more bang. And then going forward, in, as I said earlier, coming up with those ideas, the most dire and most important needs that are there, and starting to address them while at the same time making sure that those obligations that you have, they're just necessarily there, that they're being addressed as well. And making sure the money is spent properly and making sure everyone is aware of it and making sure that everyone who's a part of government is accountable. Yeah. We don't want a situation where one part of government said, gee, I didn't know that was going on. So, well, how did you not know? You see what we see. Everyone has an obligation to raise issues and to work together to try to solve them.
Okay, we're going to take a little break and we'll come back in a couple seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Jillian Hainsworth and Jim Fink. We're joined by former city judge James McLeod, and we will be right back.
Our mission at Buffalo Toronto Public Media is to serve our local community. And on WBFO, we do that by keeping you informed. We bring you important perspectives from your neighbors on what's next.
It's cultural heritage tourism. People go and they travel different places to learn about history and lived experiences that only took place in that area. Oftentimes, you may have people in certain positions that don't understand the value of cultural heritage tourism.
And we investigate issues in our community, such as racial disparities and traffic stops.
The data breakdown by council district shows that Black people are stopped disproportionately to their population in all 9 districts. Lovejoy District leads the pack in terms of those disproportionate stops. Just 37% of the district's population is Black, yet Black motorists account for almost 70% of stop receipts issued there.
This is Public Media.
From the fringes of the mainstream to the local music you love, listen to WBFO The Bridge Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. to midnight on WBFO 88.7 or your smart speaker.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
All right, we are back on What's Next on WBFO. We're joined by former City Court Judge James McLeod, now mayoral candidate James McLeod. So before the break, we started a little bit talking about the financial state of Buffalo and dollar allocations. One of my favorite quotes is, "Show me your budget and I'll tell you your priorities." So I want to stay on this topic for a minute, if that's okay. Sure. So can we start by, do you have experience managing such large budgets?
Well, I think with most, no, but let me say this.
Yeah.
I think with most elected officials, you're going to find very few who have great financial background and experience. Mm-hmm. That's where the city comptroller comes in. That's where the city budget director come in, making sure, well, the comptroller, very qualified comptroller, making sure that those folks around you who have expertise in finance are there, even within the courts. Mm-hmm. We have a finance department that's there. But the fact that you're not necessarily crunching the numbers, mm-hmm. those numbers are presented to you. You have ideas as to where you think, again, collaboration comes in, at least with my concept, is where those dollars need to be spent. What do you anticipate coming in? What's the basis for that belief? Once those dollars are determined, whether from federal money, state monies, local taxes, things like that, now the question is, how are they spent? And who are they spent on? And what part of the city are they spent on? They're, at the same time, the city of Buffalo, it seems, from what I read the other week, that a lot of monies have been spent based on overtime that within city departments. Those city departments are run by designated individuals, but at the same time, they too should know what their financial needs are, and they should be confined to those financial needs. You shouldn't say, like in building something, okay, it's going to cost $1,000 to pay for this table before it gets into this room. And you say, okay, we'll enter into the contract for the company that's going to make this table and bring it in. So, oh, geez, my gosh, now that the contract has been signed, it's now going to cost $10,000. Mm-hmm. That should not be. You should know what there are times when there may be cost overruns, but you need to be able to stay within that budget, just like you do at home, stay within your budget. But this isn't your money. This is taxpayer money. And so there's an added obligation to make sure that those dollars are spent wisely and properly, bringing in the expertise of those individuals who would help you in doing that. And I believe I'm able to make a determination as to who those individuals would mm-hmm. be. Of course, the comptroller is something right. different, but within your own budget department and making sure that which is you tell the folks up front and tell them up front is what's going to be there at the end. But at the same time, bringing in the common council to help figure those things out. I've read again where council members have said that, gee, we've had no control over the budget. We didn't know what was going on until mm-hmm. it was presented to us, and we've got 24 hours, 48 hours to vote on it. That's not the way it should be.
So how would you make it more transparent?
Well, I would bring them. They would be a part of this budget process. They would be there from beginning to end. Now, they would decide how many of them want to participate. They may designate an individual to be the representative who sits with the mayor, sits with the budget director, to figure out what the needs are. And again, working with the comptroller to make sure that those monies that we want to spend are actually there. And then that transparency within them. And also you would hope that they in turn would be transparent with their constituents, taking in again what we talked about before, the needs and wants of their individual constituents. They would know, okay, this is what we've got, and this is what we have to spend, and this is how we're going to have to spend it. And everyone says, or at least the majority says, okay, we can run with that and then make it happen. So everyone's responsible, as opposed to the pointing of fingers back and forth. And at the end of the day, it's the general public that's hurt.
Since COVID and the top shooting on May 14th of 2022, we've seen a lot of money come into Buffalo, including the American Rescue Plan funding. And right now, that is a very pressing conversation in the community. We're seeing organizations who are promised funding find out that they are not potentially going to get that funding. Mm-hmm. We've seen $11 million that were supposed to go towards forgiving water bills in economically vulnerable communities be used for capital projects instead.
Yes.
In your opinion, does the mishandling of funding in Buffalo warrant an investigation from an outside party like the Attorney General or the DOJ?
I think what we have here is a situation where the confidence of the community is really at stake here for those who do serve in public office. And getting to what you just said, talk about transparency, mm-hmm. At least a review by some independent entity should be had to, you don't have to pay for, but not someone may offer their services, but this is such a big a big boondoggle. It's probably going to require the expenditure of monies, but monies that I believe would be well spent to see what was done, how it was done, why it was done, to ensure that it's not done again. That those monies, again, that were allocated for the community, as opposed to capital projects. Well, there may be capital projects that are needed, but they can be put on the back burner because the community needs are more important here. And that's what the dollars came into the city for. Mm-hmm. And that's what they should be spent on. That's one of the things that over the years, and when I say over the years, going back to when I first got out of law school and organizations that I was a part of, the Leadership Forum was one of them. And I remember at one of our meetings, the Leadership Forum, first of all, was an organization that was made up of community-based organizations, elected officials who kept their politics on the other side of the door when the meeting started, religious folks. At one point, it was a combination of African-American and Latinos that came together. And I remember one meeting where a representative from HUD came. He would come up periodically. And someone asked him 25 years ago, how much money, federal dollars, had actually come into the city of Buffalo. It was mind-boggling. There were some elected officials who were in the room who had no clue as to the amount of monies that had actually come into the city. And the question was, well, where did those dollars go? They were spent, but they weren't spent evenly. And they weren't, in many instances, spent properly. So that transparency is something that needs to be had. The council should ask the questions. The council would be a part of the process, but the questions would be asked, the answers should be given, and the public should know what's being done with city dollars. So we don't have what we have here in December of 2024, saying, my gosh, $300 million?
Yeah,
what? I mean, where did $300 million go?
Yeah.
And no one really has an answer for it. That should not be.
I hate to use this term, but do we need adult supervision?
Yeah.
Well, we need
a famous phrase from the past.
We need proper supervision, but again, once again, the public should have the assurance that they will know where these dollars are being spent and have been spent, as opposed to you finding out about it after the fact when you've dug a hole that's 6 feet deep and you're trying to figure out how do we get out of it. Because to get out of it, though, the question is, those who are hurting now, will they hurt even more? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have to spend money that would or should be coming that isn't going to come to make up for your mistake.
Yeah.
And that's something that should not be.
Addressing these problems, would that help Buffalo get its swagger back?
Oh, I think you have to. You can't say you're the second largest city in the state, but we're talking about what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's hurt everywhere throughout this country. But there should not be the sort of hurt and pain that exists in a city as large as Buffalo. I mean, we're at the border with Canada. Parts of this country would die to have that proximity and realize the revenue that potentially comes here. Because we are the second largest city, more dollars are going to be made available, or should be made available, and have been made available. The problem has been they haven't been spent where they should have been spent or could have been spent to bring back, as you say, that swagger that Buffalo deserves and never should have lost.
Are you concerned with a new administration coming into Washington that some of the federal dollars that helped cities like Buffalo may not be there?
Well, that's always a possibility. I remember telling some kids once before, it's sort of like if we had done things the right way, if we had been the squirrels collecting the nuts, mm-hmm. and putting them away for that rainy day like they should have been, we wouldn't be in this condition. And Buffalo, as in every city, would or should, as it goes forward. It should be putting these dollars aside so we would not be in the condition that we're in. The debt that they're talking about is a big one. And the question becomes, okay, is Buffalo going to be able to survive on its own with the leadership that's there? Or are we going to come under the watchful eye of a control board again that will, in a sense, be that outside source that's going to be navigating what the elected officials should be doing?
In Buffalo, our police department, they get the largest budget allocation every year. On top of the $20 million that they get a year, we also have seen that our city has had to take out bonds to pay for police misconduct settlements, pay for lawsuits. Mm. Do you think that practice is beneficial to the citizens of Buffalo?
Well, you know, you look and you hear that, you know, as a result of what police have done, crime is down. But then again, you read in the paper and it's in the news every day that things are going on. There can be a transformation of the police department. When I say a transformation, to make it more of a, at the same time that they're fighting crime could also take the form of community policing. And once that community policing is effectively put into place and that relationship exists between the police department and its citizenry, then crime would or should, or the need for the sort of things that the Buffalo has would decrease. I mean, they say that, I mean, we've got tanks, we've got all sorts of stuff, physical stuff that isn't necessary. There are these federal dollars that have come into the city of Buffalo to address crime. And those federal dollars and the legislation that was created to address that was broad enough where these dollars did not need to go into the police department, because the need to go into the police department is when something's happened, mm-hmm. as opposed to using those dollars before that happened,
right,
by prevention. Putting them into community-based organizations, working with kids, working with folks who may engage in criminal activity. And there are so many reports out there that tell you who they are. By doing that, the monies would be better spent. I'm one who believes that to say, okay, after the fact is too late. What we need to do is to engage in programs that are going to stop the need for the kind of things that we've been pouring monies into with the police. It would be much cheaper to create programs that are going to address the root cause than the dollars that are spent not only on police, but also on jails and also on correctional facility. There's this old story that, you know, they've already looked at certain communities and say, at 3 or 5 years old, we know how many prison cells or beds we're going to have to create, mm-hmm. as opposed to working with families and working with young people to say, okay, how we are going to be addressing how many slots are we going to need in colleges and in job training programs to get folks into professions, whether they're professionals or whether they're folks who do great work like mechanics and folks who work in carpentry and things like that. It's a question of direction. And I think, unfortunately, in too many instances, we've been misdirecting the monies towards the result as opposed to the cause. And I believe that we need to start spending more time on the cause and putting money there to stop it from ballooning into something that needs intervention by police or the courts.
This is What Next. We are going to come back in a little bit with James McLeod, former Buffalo City Court Justice and now a Buffalo mayoral candidate. I'm Jim Fink. This is Jillian Hainsworth, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that WNED PBS is always working on great new local shows for you to watch?
Documentaries like Kleinhand's Gift to Buffalo, which tells the story of Buffalo's music hall.
The hall is very intimate, and that intimacy makes everyone who comes in here feel a part of our family.
Fun and educational series like Compact Science.
Believe it or not, peppers are technically fruits.
And Shakespeare's greatest hits featuring some of his best-known soliloquies and monologues.
We are such stuff as dreams are made of.
You can watch them all on our website at wned.org/local shows. While you're there, check out the show pages and mini websites for additional content such as bonus features, photo galleries, and lesson plans. Find it all at wned.org/local shows.
This is Jack Cruiser with the Scoreboard on WBFO. Listen during Morning Edition and All Things Considered each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the latest on pro matchups and college rivalries, as well as standout local athletes from Western New York and Southern Ontario. Want more? Listen to a longer version of The Scoreboard at WBFO.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we'll work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
We are back on What's Next on WBFO. We're joined by former Buffalo City Court Judge James McLeod. So right now we're seeing a lot of people say, I have a vision for this city and I should be the one to lead the city to the promised land. We're seeing a lot of people kind of throw their hat in the ring and say, I can do this. So why now and why you?
Well, there are a lot of people who are saying that. Mm-hmm. But if you look, a lot of the people that are saying that have been players in the, players in the play mm-hmm. that has Buffalo where it is now. And a lot of those folks over the years, when they've had the opportunity to, if nothing else, to speak out and speak up, for silence, question of ideas. If there have been ideas, you know, over the last umpteen years since you were in office, where were those ideas then? The budget issues that we were talking about and the expenditure of monies that you were questioning before, they were there then. So they should have, they should know the answers to where did it go, why did it go there, how did it get there. And if they say, well, we don't know, so, well, then you drop the ball. Mm-hmm. You've dropped the ball in the past. Why do we think that you're able to pick it up and get us over the goal line? That's something that the electorate's going to have to decide. I think I bring a new vision. I don't bring the with me the, how could I put it? The history of having been there while the ship was sinking, and I did not have a bucket to at least try to take some of the water out of the boat. I think I've demonstrated the ability to work with everyone, welcome everyone, and move forward. And so now the answer is to the question of why now is because Buffalo has been at this crossroad for too long. And there's a need to, okay, which road are we going to go on next? We can't stand at the X and not make a decision or make the wrong decision. I think that I'm prepared to move forward. I think I bring a fresh air to the conversation. I think my history has demonstrated my ability to work with all parts of the city and bring everyone together in a real, how can I put it, representative government. And so I think I should, this is it. I mean, I could either sit back and do nothing or sit back and say, ah, well, I'm not, you know, nothing's going to change. Nothing will ever change unless you roll up your sleeves and jump into the fray. And I'm prepared to do that. And I just hope that people within the city of Buffalo, people who are listening to this broadcast, believe that I'm sincere in what I say. And they're willing to put their trust in me to move forward.
How would you sell Buffalo to an out-of-town business, say company XYZ is looking at Buffalo as a possible expansion? How would you sell them on coming to Buffalo, investing, and being part of Buffalo?
Well, I think, number one, Buffalo, as I said before, can be a good city. It has great people. It's a city that has people who are ready, willing, and able to work to make whatever company you're attempting to bring here, to make your product and make it a great product that you're going to be able to sell anywhere in the country, sell anywhere in the world. There's opportunity here. There is land here where you can build. And that's one of the things, too. You look at Erie County and you look at department stores, you look at restaurants, you look at even smaller businesses, and you say, geez, how come they're in the Kenmores, and how come they're in the Amherst, Williamsville? Mm-hmm. Why are they in the Cheektowagas? And why do Buffalonians have to go there as opposed to bring them here? Why do we have, when you talk about food, mm-hmm. and desert, just one supermarket? You've got people in all parts of the city who eat food. You've got all people here in the city of Buffalo who are going to have to go somewhere to purchase food unless they're going to starve, and they're not going to starve. You can build that product in parts of the city where there is this land, and people will come to it. And I think once you do that, homes will develop around them. But we've got the workers, we've got trained people, we've got folks who can, I think, meet any skill set that any business would want to bring here. Come and let's do this together. Come and show, we will show you that working together as a unified city, as a unified government, a city where all people are working as one Buffalo, mm-hmm. that we can make any business survive and perhaps even grow.
How confident are you that you can sell that pitch to whomever?
Well, it's one of those things you never know. You can say, okay, this is my pitch. Say, well, this is something new. This is something different. This is something that I want to be a part of. And you hope that people will be a part of it. People, I think, want change. I think people need to see change. And I think, again, rather than just talk about it, when you've had the opportunity to do it in the past and you did not, I've talked about things in the past and I have done it. And so I believe I can do it again.
Is there a sense of frustration when you're out there talking to out on the street? What's the level of frustration, 1 to 10?
Well, I think it's the frustration is out there. But when people hear that I'm running, people are excited. I got my mail today. And when I got my mail today, one of the few days I was there to open the door, my mail person was there. And my mail person doesn't live in the city of Buffalo. And they said, oh, geez, I'm congratulations on you're jumping into the foray. And if I was a Buffalo resident, I would surely vote for you. And so I think people know enough about me that they believe that I can do it, and they want to be a part of it.
So sell us on James McLeod and why you should be the next mayor of Buffalo.
Well, I'm a non-politician. I believe I have a skill set. I've demonstrated my ability to make things happen, make things work. I think my ability to work well with people has been established over the years with the many organizations that I have been a part of and worked collaboratively with. I don't think there's anyone on any organization there. There's so many that I have been that would say that which I was supposed to do, I did not follow through on. Buffalo is a place that I love. I've lived here longer than I've lived in my own hometown. I'd like to bring Buffalo back to the glory and luster that it had when I first came here back in the 70s. It's needed. I think working with people, I can make that happen. I want everyone in the city to be proud of Buffalo. I want everyone in the city to feel as though they're a part of Buffalo. I want everyone in the city to believe that they can work with others within the city of Buffalo. And we can do it together. We have to do it together. If we don't do it together, there isn't much hope.
Are you excited?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Because I see there's an opportunity for a new day, a new beginning. And I'm hoping that I'm a part of that. I believe that if I am, people won't be disappointed.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for joining us today. I'm happy to learn and hear about your vision for Buffalo, along with all of the other potential candidates for mayor. We are happy to learn about the direction that we are potentially going to be led into. So thank you for joining us. Again, I am Jillian Hainsworth. I'm here with Jim Fink and former Buffalo City Court judge and now mayoral candidate James McLeod. Thanks for tuning in, and this is What's Next on WBFO.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.